Hi, this is Pastor Daniel Bracken. You're listening to Kings Alaska Podcast. I hope the word encourages you and you get a touch from God that brings transformation and equips you to experience life with people, power, and purpose. Thank you for joining us. Enjoy the word.
Well, what a pleasure it is to be here tonight. Obviously, I'm a little degraded here physically, but I got a powerful word to deliver that I believe the Lord laid on my heart, and it is such an honor to be here. I thank you, Pastor Daniel and Pastor Karen, for allowing me to deliver the word tonight. What an honor and privilege. I know you're watching right now. We love you, and thank you so much. Well, I'd like to get started with prayer. Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus, I pray, Holy Spirit, come. Have your way. Have your way with us. We surrender to you tonight, and we thank you for what you're doing in our lives. We thank you for what you're doing here in Kings, Alaska, and Kings globally. And I pray that you anoint these lips of clay. May you be you that come out of me and flow through me to touch those not only in the sanctuary and those online, and for those who will listen to this at a later date. In Jesus' name we pray, and all God's people said, amen. Amen. All right, well, I believe this word, it followed the teaching of Pastor Daniel. Just recently, as you all know, he taught on living the dream, the study of the life of Joseph. It was a powerful teaching. So I encourage you, if you have not heard the preaching, get online and get those and listen to them and take notes and share that with someone else. It was very, very powerful. And the scripture we're going to read tonight is Jeremiah 29:11 through 13. That's a common scripture, but how many of you know that nothing's common in God's word? We may hear it a lot, but it's still got great power, amen? So what we're going to do is read that, and if you could, stand, and we're going to read the word together, and even I and my state will balance on one. I will not fall, in Jesus' name. For I know the plans that I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you hope and a future. Then you will call on me and come and pray to me, and I will listen to you. You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all of your heart. Amen. What a powerful, powerful scripture. You know, there's some promises in there and some action on our part that we must take. First of all, the promises. God knows the plans for us. When Pastor Daniel was preaching on living the dream, each and every one of us has a plan and purpose from God. You have been genetically created in your mother's womb before you were even born. He knitted you together. You've been knitted together, and he has that perfect plan for you. Don't think otherwise. And we'll talk more about that in just a moment. So he knows the plans also are to prosper and not to harm us. The plans are to give us a hope and a future. We just read that. But get this in your spirit. I just want this to, you know, there's some conditions here that God talks about. Call and pray, he says. What is that? That's for us to do. It's a choice. If we call and pray upon the Lord, guess what? He will listen. How many of you want God to listen to your prayers? We know he hears our prayers. That's what scripture says. And when we seek him, what does it say? That's also a step that we have to take. When we seek him, we will find him. What an amazing scripture. And then not just seek him, but with all of our heart. It says that. Sometimes we can read scripture and just kind of glaze through that or run through it. But when you think about what God has said here and what he's placed in his word, it's really amazing. Little treasures, secrets, things hidden that he reveals to each and every one of us when we read his word. And that's what we're going to talk about. The reason for this commonly quoted scripture was Pastor Daniel's message. Not only was it powerful, but it stirred the hearts of many, many people. You probably heard the conversations after service, maybe during service. It stirred the hearts of many, and they were asking questions too. People were asking questions. Well, how do I know that I've heard the voice of God? How do I know that I'm in his plan and that I'm living the dream? That's a great question. How do you know that? Well, there's sure ways that you can know, and sure ways that you can ensure and do your part so that you can hear the voice of God through the Holy Spirit. Amen? I heard many questions. So my beautiful wife and I, you know, and by the way, it grieved me tremendously because some people were, you know, it's like, and I remember the time. My wife and I love marriage ministry. We are passionate about marriage ministry. Why? I'll tell you. Because of the testimony of our marriage and how God saved us from destruction. Over 25 years ago, we had the divorce papers signed. They were signed. We were done. The only thing of our many fights throughout the year that we agreed upon, well, it wasn't a fight, but the only thing we agreed upon was that we were ready for a divorce. We had the papers signed. We were ready. It was over. We were done with it. So we counsel and minister others. And, you know, we always, when we do counsel, and even other than marriage, just one-on-one, guys on guys, girls on girls, you know, just talking with people as they have questions, we ask a very common question, every time we'll ask them when we minister to others, because it grieves us. How is your relationship with the Lord? How is that? Do you hear his voice? Well, what does that mean? What does that mean exactly? How's your relationship with the Lord? That's a pretty ambiguous and broad question, is it not? We're going to carve into it. I remember a story, speaking of our marriage, that relates to this. I remember we were having such turmoil, and I believe my brother's online. He remembers. He remembers well. There I was at 2 a.m. Tells you how long ago it was. I was in a phone booth, and it was raining. Do you know what? Some of you may not know what a phone booth is. That's what Superman changed in. I don't know what he uses now. Probably a porta potty. Anyway, so here we are. I am in this phone booth, and I am actually talking to my dad on the telephone, bawling my eyes out, frustrated. Dad, I have never tried so hard to make this work and to watch it crumble and fall apart right before my very eyes. It was horrible. Arian felt the same way. And we could not figure it out. We couldn't crack the code. But you know, that was BC, before Christ. We didn't even know the Lord at that point. But how profound the words were. I had never tried so hard. I didn't have the Holy Spirit. I wasn't leading my home with the Lord. I didn't hear his voice for sure. I heard lots of other voices, and they weren't good ones. So, you know, in those questions we usually hear when we ask people that, what's your relationship with the Lord? Oh, pretty good, not sure. Well, I think I'm doing okay, or I want to get to know him more. Well, Mark 12:30, let's go ahead and turn there. Mark 12:30. I love this scripture. The most important one, Jesus answers, is this. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all of your heart, with all of your soul, with all of your mind, and all of your strength. And then love your neighbor as yourself. There's no commandment greater than these. Think about what Jesus is speaking here. Jesus is saying that is a committed relationship. Amen? All your heart, all your soul, all your mind, all your strength. That's every bit of your being. That's what he's telling us to do. The most important commandment is that, to love him. Well, how do we do that? Well, in Matthew 6:21, it says, where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. We've heard this. How many times, how many things, how many tasks do we have in our lives that we spend so much time on? A lot of time. I remember, my gosh, well, not now. Praise God that we have helpers in our lives, because getting up and cooking an egg and a piece of bacon is a tasker, boy. I tell you what, with a pair of crutches. Dr. David Dr. David was over there, and he about saved me from tripping on the crutch. It got caught up in my sleeve. It's great to have helpers in life. First and foremost, the Holy Spirit, but we have people around us that help us. And Jeff was the other one, by the way. I think he was there. So where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Now, think about all the things that we sink our time in. What about TV? Have you done any TV lately? What about dating? What about the relationship and dating when you first met your spouse or your significant other? Did you put any time in that? Did you invest any research into that? Well, I know I did with my wife. I found out everything that she liked, and I'd cook it too. I mean, if I knew that she didn't like Brussels sprouts, why the heck would I cook that? Do you think that would be scoring some points? No, it would not. I'm not going to do that. What about a job interview? Would you sink some time or invest some time in that and see about the job interview and the company you're about to work with? Would you do that? Have you ever done that? What about work? Do you work a lot? Do you burn the midnight hour? How's the family doing? How's the wife doing? How's the spouse doing? Oh, look at this one, internet. What about the internet? Or I left my phone in there, but what about the phone? So my son, who is a tech wizard, if I don't know anything, I just hand the thing over to him and he fixes it or adjusts it, and I keep telling him, stop doing things to my phone. Because when I go to use it, then I can't figure out how to undo what you did. But he was looking at my screen time, and I was putting things together here. I was pulling stuff up. Let me tell you, most people have a cell phone here. And I'm not condemning, it's not a condemning word, but maybe there's some conviction. Go ahead and ask your son or your daughter, the tech wizard, or maybe you know how to do it yourself, and scroll over and see how much time you've spent on the cell phone. And then ask yourself the question, how much time did I spend with the Lord? That'll wake you up. Internet. So, in our lives, the Lord, when we love him with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength, clearly it says he's our first priority. Amen? Our relationship with the Lord, I refer many times the word picture of an oxygen mask. If you're flying around on a jet, listen to the flight attendant. And when she's doing her little demo that everybody ignores, I didn't say that. If there's any flight attendants, I apologize. So, what do they say? They say, put the oxygen mask on who first? Yourself. That's right. You know why? Because you're no good to anybody else if you don't do it. Everybody will die then. If I'm no good to my family because I'm not connected with the Lord and in relationship with him as my number one priority, and we'll talk about how to do those things in just a moment, then I'm not going to be any good to anyone else. My wife will tell me, or ask the question, have you been in the Word today? Oh, why would you say something like that? Maybe I've been a little snappy. Maybe I, Pastor Becky, I smile when I see that. Pastor Becky came up to me one day in the lobby, and we were having an event, and she said, Mr. Hank, why don't you smile? You're scaring people. And I was like, you know what? I'm going to smile. And every time I pass her, I just smile big. It's so funny. So how much time do we spend with the Lord? How much more would our relationship be with God? How much more would we hear His voice and hear the plans and purpose and living the dream? How much more would we know? That we know, that we know, that we know. I heard from the Lord. So, let's look at this. Oh, yeah. Four ways. Now, I remember hearing the voice. I'll tell you a little story. And when we talk about hearing the voice of the Lord, this is one of the best examples that happened in my own life. Some of you have heard it, but it was at the Alaska State Fair. Well, what was happening there? I had my son, Ryan, and he was on my watch. I don't know where Minister Arian went. My lovely wife went. She wandered off somewhere doing some exhibiting or buying something. And I had my son, and I got distracted. It was probably funnel cakes or something like that. And I went ahead and wandered off. I turned around, and guess who disappeared? My son's gone. And here I am in the midst of a sea of human beings, and I have hundreds of them, if not thousands, and I have no idea where he is. Yeah. Golly, that was so frightening. And there I scream his name. Ryan! Top of my lung. The guys are like, oh, he's another one lost a kid. You know, the women are like, oh, my husband did that last year, or whatever. And I kept screaming his name. And then just a faint voice. And I heard, Daddy. I kept screaming, Ryan, Daddy. And we vectored in. We found each other. I tell you what. I said, now, son, don't, mama doesn't, oh, I'm not going to finish that. Here, let's go get some ice cream. Anyhow, so that's what happened. And you know, how did we find each other? In the sea of thousands of people, we knew each other's voice. The Son knew the Father. And the Father definitely knew the Son. And that's how we found each other. If we weren't in relationship, it wouldn't have turned out so good. He would have sounded like all the other kids. Praise God. I give the Lord thanks for that one. So there's four ways that we can, or three ways that we can take upon ourselves, and we can put some effort in our part to draw closer to the Lord. And they're very simple. They seem simple, but not only hearers of the word, but doers as well. Amen? Now, because who created each and every one of us in Jeremiah 29? For I know the plans I have for you. Now, if I had problems with my car, which I did not long ago, it was making a noise. Where's Eric Townsend? Thank you, brother. Thank you. So, if I had a problem with my car, I am not going to McDonald's drive-thru and say, hey, I'd like to have a Diet Coke, along with my Big Mac and my fries and everything else. Give me one of those McFlurries, too, and then give me a Diet Coke to go with it. Oh, by the way, I'm going to rev my engine up, and tell me what's wrong with the engine of my car. Can you diagnose that while we're in the drive-through window? Can you tell me what's wrong with my car? We would never do that. Why? Because they're not the specialist. Oh, the Lord is. He made us. He knows every thought. He knows why we think the way we do. He knows why we cry and have sorrow and the pain and the hurts of our past. Every one of us have been wounded. Every one of us in here have been offended. Everyone online's been hurt at one time or another. Maybe you're going through something right now. Maybe you've been hurt lately. Just the other day, I don't even know, 2 days ago, we had to put our dog down. 13 years we had this beautiful dog, member of the family, you know, and then somebody did something to their foot, and that happened too. Things happen in life, you know, things happen. We'll talk about that a little more in a second. James 4:8 says, draw near to God and he will draw near to you. Notice how there's an action step. He says, you draw near to God and he'll draw near to you, right? So the first thing out of the three ways that we can help our lives draw closer to God and to hear his voice and the plans and purpose. Number one, read and study God's word. Wow, that sounds simple. No problem, right? Now, I'm not just talking about reading the word, and here's a 365-day plan. We read it for the day, check mark it, and we're done. No, that's not what we're talking about. We're talking about reading and studying the word of God to be in intimate relationship with him. And you know when you've read the word and you've started your day out and you set the course being with him and intimate with him, you know the difference. You've heard his voice, and maybe you haven't. We're going to give you a chance to make that right. So read and study God's word. Let's look at what Joshua 1:8 says. Joshua 1:8. You know, I like the paper Bible. Everyone has their preference, but it's not corruptible. Somebody can't update my app and tell me. Now, sometimes I'll use my phone and iPad, but I love the Word of God written in paper form. Keep this book in the law always on your lips. Meditate on it day and night so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. Then you will be prosperous and successful. Does that sound like God might lay out a plan and purpose in your life, prosperous you? With the law in your heart, meditating on it at all times. Amen. Okay, look at Psalm 1, chapter 1, verse 2. Meditate on God's word day and night. There it is again. So he's telling us this. Meditate on his words. And I talked about things happen unexpectedly in life. But you know what? We also have an enemy. I can't blame the devil for my foot, because I have a helper, the Holy Spirit, and I have another helper that's sitting in the front row, a married person to me, other than me, and she was informing me, maybe I'll do that tomorrow, not in the dark. Well, maybe I should have listened to my other helper. Amen? So I'm wandering around, and I try to destroy my foot there. But in Matthew 4:4, I bring that up for a reason. You know, there are times where you're face to face with the enemy and he's the one cracking down, and it is of the devil. But some things we bring up on ourselves. But here in Matthew 4:4, man doesn't live on bread alone, but from every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. So Jesus, if it's good enough for him, surely it's good enough for us. If we're face-to-face with the enemy, we combat him with the word written in our heart. Well, what if I don't have my phone, iPad, or Bible? Well, it's written on my heart. So we meditate that on that day and night. Our identity in Christ is the Teflon in our lives. What happens when somebody says, hey, you seem like you have a few less IQ points than the average person. I don't think you're very smart. Well, according to the word, I have the mind of Christ. Amen? According to the word, I'm above and not below. According to the word, I'm an heir of God and co-heir with Christ. I'm not poor. According to the word, I'm the head and not the tail. According to the word, I'm the lender, not the borrower. Did I say that one already? Anyway, there's so many things. Our identity in Christ is also in the word. So when offenses come our way, like Jesus says they will, guess what? I don't have to listen to that junk. I can be in a relationship with the Lord and know that I am wonderfully and beautifully made in the eyes of the Lord, and he loves me regardless of everyone else who does not. Like Pastor Daniel says, hey, we, most of us only have one or two friends in life anyway, right? So what a wonderful thing, knowing that the Lord loves us, and there's nothing we can do to change that. He loves us. So we can have comfort and peace in that. And that's it's a wonderful thing. So Psalm 119:105, the word is a lamp to our feet and a light to our path. Praise God. Because right now you can see most of what's going on outside until it turns dark. And then someone might be walking around when they shouldn't be, and something happened to their foot. But walking around the house, driving a car, who would navigate through the darkness of Alaska with this terrain, this mountainous terrain and crevices and holes and animals and brush and all kinds of stuff? Nobody's going to do that in the dark without a light. Raise your hand if you're that person. I don't see any hands going up. Maybe somebody online did that. As a matter of fact, we need illumination. Well, think about that. We try to navigate through life and do it all on our own. You know, we can't even breathe on our own. Our heart doesn't beat the next beat on our own. We need the Lord. So, I am the vine. You are the branches. Without me, you can do nothing. But all things are possible through Christ who strengthens us. Well, where do we get that relationship? How do we know all this stuff that I just quoted in Scripture? By reading the Word. Amen? And once again, it's not just hearing it, it's doing it as well. And taking that time, that devoted time to be with Him, that intimate time with Him. No distractions, just you and the Lord. So, Hebrews 4:12-13. This is also a favorite scripture, all the way back in Hebrews. Let's go there, shall we? The Word of God is alive and active, sharper than any two-edged sword, even piercing to the division of joint and marrow, and soul and spirit, and judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart. Listen to this. Nothing in all creation is hidden from God's sight. Everything is uncovered and laid bare before the eyes of Him whom we must give an account. Now think about that. Alive and powerful, sharper. That's a weapon against the enemy. The Word of God is a weapon against the enemy once again. What a powerful, powerful scripture. And it reads you. You don't read it. It reads you. And then through the Word, God will speak to you through His Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit will speak to you. He wants you to know. What father would not love for his son or his daughter to pursue him? What father would not love that? God loves that. God loves that. So that was number one, being in the Word. Number two, second point, be in prayer. Be a person of prayer. Have that intimate time with Him as well. You know, my watch here, what I will do, not right now because I'm up here, but I will set a timer on my watch. I don't do it all the time in like meetings and things like that. But you know what? I set it for every 3 minutes. You know what I do after 3 minutes? I pray. I pray to the Lord. It'll go off. Oh, Lord, thank you. You'd be surprised. Thank you, Lord, that I'm here. Thank you I didn't trip when I came up and sat down. Thank you, Lord, for all these wonderful people and those online. Thank you for your word, a lamp to our feet and a light to our path. And then click, I'll go to the next 3 minutes. You would be surprised in 3 minutes where you're at. You might be in front of somebody who needs desperate prayer, and then you pray for that person in 3 minutes. Now, you might be saying to yourself, holy cow, that's a lot of time in prayer. Yeah, it is. It is a whole, but hold on just a second. The Word says, take every thought captive and make it obedient to Christ, right? Well, when we're in prayer, we pray the Word because the Word gives us our prayer life that we pray back. Wait a minute, Lord, you said. So being a person of prayer. So every 3 minutes, and then you might be driving down the road. As soon as somebody pulls in front of you or runs you off the road, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Thank you, Lord, that I'm not who I used to be, and that didn't come out of my mouth. Yeah. Thank you, Lord. I have my Jesus bumper sticker on and I'm good to go. So take every thought captive. Now, and when we think that that's a lot of prayer time for us, let's listen to what Jesus did. Mark 1:35 says, Jesus rose up long before daylight, where he departed to a solitary place and he prayed. Long before daylight. Well, that'd be kind of different up here, wouldn't it? But, you know, when you look at where he was, that's a normal day like down in the southeast. That's what the day was. But it was long before daylight. I love this next scripture. That's an early rise. But listen to this one in Luke 6:12 and 13. This is one of my favorites. I got these little tabs that I marked so I didn't have to thumb through. Oh, here we go. This is great. One of those days, Jesus went out to a mountainside to pray and spent the night praying to God. Some versions say that he was there all night long praying. When morning came, he called his disciples to him and chose 12 of them, whom he also designated apostles. All night long. There's many occasions where he prayed. You can go through scripture. You can read that for yourself. But that is an amazing scripture. All night long he prayed. Let's look at Luke 23:34. There he was. I already quoted this one. Hanging on the cross, bleeding. Last few breaths, words coming out of his mouth. And he says, in prayer, forgive them, Father, for they know not what they do. The very ones who hung him on the cross and nailed him to the cross, he's praying for them. Wow. Who does that mean we should pray for? God hears all your prayers. You know, I like the statement that Kendall Meek said. I actually called him today and said, hey, what was it you said the other morning? I didn't want to misquote you during our Saturday morning prayer. I love what he said. He said, it's impossible for something not to happen when we pray. Think about that. It's impossible because God he hears every prayer. Now, we can hinder our prayers. That's for sure. I think I have that scripture. God also says, well, let's read this. Matthew 7:7-8. Praise God. All right. Looks like I put that little sticky in the wrong place. But that's okay. Let the clock run out there. 7:7-8. Okay. Here we go. That is why I did not consider myself worthy to come to you. Well, I might have written the wrong one, but I know that one anyway. So he says, ask. He says, come to me. He wants us to ask him for things in prayer. Ask, and you will find. Or it will be given unto you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and it will be open. That's what he tells us that we will receive when we ask in prayer. So he tells us to do that. I love that we're part of a church that puts an emphasis on prayer, puts an emphasis on prayer and the word, where the truth is preached right from this pulpit, the just right from the heart and right from the word, where we get to hear that and it's not watered down or anything like that. You know, the third thing, we're running out of time. And the third thing really is, number three, is to serve and get plugged in. As iron sharpens iron, so a man sharpens the countenance of his friend. I love that scripture. I needed several pieces of help this week. That's one of them. Dwayne Hall there. Dwayne Hall pulled me out of the depths of sand over to the Kasiloff. He assisted me in that. We need help. Get plugged in. Come to church. Many times people, when they don't hear the voice of God and they don't think they know, they're not even coming to church and they're not getting plugged into the amazing things, the 200 life groups coming up in the fall. That's what's going to happen. Amen? So the 200 life groups coming up in fall, get plugged into that stuff. If you're not a leader, become a leader. Get into a life group. Assist one. You know, I love that we have this in our marriage. Our marriage was saved in a life group. We first went to a life group and people started pouring things out and we were like, you know, we've told this story before and we came out of there thinking, it gives you hope because you're not the only one going through things. And we went through that and it was like, oh my gosh, we're not as bad as we thought we were. Amen. I don't mean that in a disrespectful way. It's just there was hope in that we're not the only ones. So, and then I'd like to read one last scripture to you. Looks like I'm running out of time here. Those numbers turned red. John 14:15-18. And I would like to read that before we close. Okay. Here we go. If you love me, this is Jesus speaking to us. If you love me, keep my commands, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to help you, to be with you forever, the Spirit of truth. The world cannot accept him because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him, for he lives in you and will be in you. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. That's what Jesus said to us. We all, if you haven't received Christ, if you haven't received Christ and you don't have the Holy Spirit in you, we're going to give you a chance in just a moment. Keys, please. Thank you, Minister Toby. So, I don't know where you're at in life. And you know, it's we don't want to close the service without giving you a chance to give your heart to the Lord, an opportunity to make Jesus your Lord and Savior. I don't know what you're going through. Maybe you're going through some of that stuff I mentioned. Maybe you're online, you're having some problems in life. Maybe you want to draw closer to the Lord. Maybe your relationship is good, you just want more of him. Well, I hope those three things that I had mentioned, that get into the Word, get into prayer, and get plugged in and serve. Because the more you serve, the more you're blessed, and the more you're blessed, the more you want to serve, and the more you serve, the more you're blessed, and the more you, it's perpetual. And when you get plugged in, you know, that gets rid of the unholiness in your life, because you got a brother that's going to point things out to you. Live a holy life through that. Ask questions, get some answers. Be with people that will help you out, like our bullseye stickers on the floor out there. Life is better together. Amen? I'm looking out here, and I see many of you that have helped me, that I love you, and in relationship with you. And boy, life is so much better together.
Well, I hope you were encouraged by God's word. Thank you again for listening to King's Alaska Podcast. God bless you. For more great content, go to kcalaska.com. May God's face shine upon you.